This is Kevin on the Monday Magazine here at Vectis Radio. Wherever you are, hope you're having a good day. I am, because I love doing this show, and even more so now because my guest Chris Gardner has just strolled in looking very relaxed. He's got time off from being technical manager at Shankly Theatre for good behaviour, probably not. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Kevin.
Yay. So, we can hear you, which is good. I wanted to take you right back in time, Chris. I know we're going to talk a little bit later about what's happening at Shanklin at the moment, some of the amazing acts that are coming up.
Yeah.
Including my good self, of course. But
everybody has a bad day.
Yeah. Cheers. But I'm fascinated about your early history, because people think of you now as the man who sits behind the desk at Shanklin Theatre, but nobody really knows how you got there and what your background is. So I'm just wondering whether we could go right back to that moment when you were, was it a film called Charge of the Light Brigade?
Charge of the Light Brigade.
Tell us about that.
1967, I think it was.
Wow.
If memory serves.
Yeah.
Because I was about 9, so that would be about right.
Yeah.
And my mum and dad were at the Bristol Hippodrome.
Yeah.
And they got an offer of a job on Charge of the Light Brigade, which they thought, well, we've never done that before. Yeah, we'll have a go at that. So they went on, they both did wardrobe. And it was based at the wardrobe department. They got based at the Colston Hall. And I was dying to go and have a look, of course. I wanted to see a set, but I thought, I won't get there. But I'll go and have a look at the costumes. So I went and look at the costumes. Mum showed me around. A load of big wigs turned up. And she thought, oh, we better get rid of you, because don't know what the format is here. So you go. So, okay, so off I went home. And one of the big wigs that walked in was Tony Richardson, who was the director of Charge of the Brigade, and he was married to Vanessa Redgrave at one point, who was also starring in the film along with John Gielgud and Trevor Howard and David Hemmings. And apparently Tony came up to my mum and said, who was that lad walking? And she said, oh, I'm sorry. She said, sorry, that was my son. He said, no, that's fine. Bring him in tomorrow. He said, if it's all right with you, I want him to have a fit in. So he's got the right sort of face for what I'm looking for some of the scenes. So when she got home that night and told me that, I couldn't believe it. So it was great. So I went in, I had a fit in, and I did a lot of extra work on it.
Wow.
And at 9 years old, I was earning £2 a day.
Wow.
As a
did you get any lines, or were you just
no, I didn't get lines. Scenes. I got to throw rice at Vanessa Redgrave, and she told me off. But in a joking way, saying, you know, don't throw him so hard, basically.
Did you?
It's a wedding scene. As they were coming out the church, we had to chuck rice at her. So we got that. But they did a lot of work in around Bristol. We did about 10 weeks or so around Bristol, something like that.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of extra work. And with Jolie Richardson and the ill-fated sister, who sadly passed away recently.
And do I recall you saying once something about a Duke of Wellington statue?
Yeah, well, after the Bristol thing all wrapped up, Mum and Dad's contract ran out there, and being crafty devils, they packed me and my brother into the VW camper van, went to London where they knew they were based, and happened to drive by the wardrobe department, at which point everybody was going, oh, great, love to see you, John and Zena. Oh, great, what are you doing? Well, we're just up on holiday. Oh, don't fancy a bit of work, do you? Oh, well, we could probably fit some in. And they got exactly what they wanted, and we finished the whole film off in London.
Wow.
They'd already done the turkey stuff.
And so we were in London. Purely on spec.
On spec. And then I ended up walking around following Tony Richardson around, and he used to have to carry his viewfinder. And he had me doing odd little bits and pieces as an extra, and being a guide to some people, taking them to the set, taking them back to the wardrobe, that sort of thing. And then they had one scene on a bank holiday Monday. You got £4 a day in London, extra, so that was nice. They had one scene where they were having a statue of the Duke of Wellington was supposed to be towed into place, and this thing was massive. I mean, they do it digitally now, but then it was the real thing. It was built out of fiberglass, but it was supposed to be stone, and it must have been 30 foot high. Of course, I was only 9, so things looked bigger anyway, but it must have been 30 foot high and 35 foot long, this thing.
Wow.
Towed by about 50 or 60 horses. And he'd he said to me, sorry, Chris, he said, could you climb up there and get underneath the horse's head? Can you do that? I said, yeah, sure. I'm 9 years old. I don't care, do I? I zooped up the thing and he shouts action, and the horse pulls off down the road, and there's hundreds of people running around and all these horses and all that, and they pull it on down the road, and when he shouts cut, he beckons to me to come down again, so I go all the way back down. He said, right, Chris, he said, great, but it's don't hang on to the reins and swing them, it's supposed to be stone, and I clean that up. So we're gonna have to do it again. Because I was apparently swinging on the reins. So I had to reverse 60 horses and this blasted thing up the road and do it all again.
And did it stay in the film, that shot?
I can't remember. I've got a film at home. I've got a DVD. I'll lend it to you.
So anybody who's got that DVD...
They might, yeah. Have a look at Chris.
Age of nine.
Yeah, age of nine. Wow. Yeah. But my mum had a fit when she came on set and saw me up this... I just thought I was having fun.
Yeah.
And she just looked up and saw me up the top of this thing being pulled down the road by a load of horses and frightened to death.
And did you get bitten by the bug straight away?
I did thoroughly enjoy doing the filming bit. It was great fun. I said, when we were in Bristol, one of my favourite bits was I'd always wanted to go on a trap at the Bristol Hippodrome where mum and dad worked. They had a trap come up through the stage, and I thought, oh God, I'd love to go on that, but you know, absolutely taboo. You don't let your kids go and play on that sort of thing. That's not. But when we did one of the scenes in Charge of the Light Brigade is they go to see a production of Macbeth, which they did at Bristol Old Vic, pre its refurb they've had now. And Tony wanted me to be the bloody child. And then they had the boy king, and they were supposed to come up through the cauldron. So I got to spend all day going up and down on the trap, dressed as the bloody king and bloody child. I beg your pardon. Excuse my French. The bard, he wrote it. So I spent all day going up and down on this trap, and as they shot it from different angles and stuff, and all the off bits. I was saying, Sir Donald Woolfitt was supposed to be one of the actors in the play, so I was sat down being entertained by Sir Donald Woolfitt and a bunch of people. I couldn't tell you who they were called because I can't remember.
Yeah. But was it for you just a bit of fun?
It was wonderful fun.
Yeah. It wasn't like you wanted to be like a film star. You were just enjoying.
I was a kid on kid on apparatus on the playground apparatus. I think that would be a And then the next lovely bit came was when the had a girl playing the boy king, who was actually the daughter of one of the writers, and she'd been there watching me going up and down on this trap all day long for about 2 days, I think I did that. And when it came to put her turn to go on the trap, they put her near it, and she screamed red off. She wouldn't go anywhere near it. At which point, Tony lost his rest. Get Chris across town, cleaned up, and in that costume, and get him back here now. It's costed thousands of pounds leeching out of the place, and they got no production to do because they're all set up to do this shot.
Wow.
So I had to rush across town in a taxi, have all the blood cleaned off into a new costume, and the hair put into bunches so they could get the wig to stay on my head, and then sent me on a trap and went up and down again for a couple of days.
And what's partly amazing is that you can remember all this in such detail, can't you?
Yeah, I was a kid on apparatus, so it was wonderful fun.
Are you able to do that about just about anything? I mean,
No, I wouldn't have thought so. Don't ask me what I did yesterday, for instance.
What did you do yesterday, Chris?
Oh no, I did Baron Knights. That's not so bad. But you know what I mean.
A bit of name dropping. Get Chris warmed up for his name dropping session later. Baron Knights. Who? Sorry. But the other one, what is it? Arthur of the Britons.
Arthur of the Britons. A television series. Yeah, in the
Oliver 70s.
Oliver Tobias.
What year?
Michael
are we?
Gothard. 70s? Well, I was about 14 then.
1970s?
Yeah, that sort of area, isn't it?
Okay. And you were in that as well?
I was in it. I was a horse handler. One of the things I did. Mum was on wardrobe, Dad was on props, and I did a lot of horse handling, and I did a lot of extra work on that as well.
And did
Brian Blessed, of course.
And did your mum and dad do their usual and just say, oh, there's a film being shot over there, let's get in the camper van and see if we can get any work?
It wasn't quite like that. They were already working at HTV in Bristol by that point. They were already resident there, and they just got sort of assigned to that job, as it were. So that was a lot of fun. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
That was
great until the horse stood on me. That hurt. And there's Jack Watson, but they were doing a shot, and the horse kept moving about, and it was sort of beside a river, and it was sort of like a cow drink, if you like, where it was coming down the bank, and there was a step about a foot lower than the horse was.
Yeah.
And I think it was Sidney Lotterby was the director of Memory Serves, and he said, well, "Can you just stand under and just hold the horse because it keeps trying to wander off." And Jack was supposed to have only one hand, so his left hand was a metal glove, and so he couldn't actually hold the reins and stuff. So I said, yeah, certainly. So I stand under and holding the horse, and unfortunately the horse slipped off, and it came down a foot, and we're talking about like a really big horse here, about 15-16 hands.
Whoa.
Sorry, I ran out of breath there. About 15-16 hands or something. It came down straight on my foot.
Oh.
Being a pro, I didn't scream or cry because I knew the shot was still going, so I just kept my trap shut. And then we had to get all the horses round to the other side, at which point I had to jump on a horse and gallop, and I'm not a very good horse rider. I said, horse handling, I'll lead them anywhere. But we were galloping around the other side to go somewhere else. I was in agony.
I know.
Oh, gosh.
One of the things that I think fascinates people is that because of your role since then, because you've ended up being the backstage guy for years and years of experience and lots of different venues around the country, but it's given you a sort of privileged access, hasn't it, to some pretty famous people. And I think, you know, in the way society is sort of obsessed with celebrities, I'm just wondering whether, do you feel a bit like that? It's a bit like being in Toyland all the time, because you keep getting these famous people coming in, or does it become, is it just your job?
In many ways, it's just the job.
I don't
mean to sound too blasé about it,
because
I still thoroughly enjoy those. To me, they're a name and they're a celebrity or whatever you like to call them, but they've got there because they've got some great talent.
Yeah.
And that's the bit I like to see.
Yeah.
Come on stage and do...
So when we think of you sat at your desk at Shanklin Theatre, and people like us will just see a famous name on the stage, you're sitting there appreciating all the stuff that's gone on behind it,
the
crew that person's got around them, and all the rest of it.
Absolutely, yeah. And I said they've got there because they've got something special, and I'm getting a chance to see it firsthand. It is lovely to sit and chat to them. Sometimes you get a chance to do that. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes they just come in. I think actually I said about telling you about Stuart Francis, who came down earlier this year. Rebecca, my wife, who's also the stage manager there. Spoke to him when he came on stage, and said he looked almost surprised to be spoken to, in as much as not in a don't talk to me way. Sort of, someone's interested in me. Sort of.
Yeah.
And I think he kind of got into a sense of goes into a place, and nobody speaks to him.
Yeah,
and so he ends up goes out, does his act, walks off, and nobody. Yeah. And when Rebecca actually took some notice of him, he sort of smiling and sort of relaxed and settling down. And Jess Conrad was another one like that, because he was very nervous on the side of the stage, and then Rebecca sort of sat down talking to him, and it sort of relaxed him, and somebody's talking to me. Oh, it's not.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. So although we sort of see them as celebrities, and you think, oh, they just sort of walk out and just do it, they don't always, and sometimes they need a little bit of comfort backstage, a bit of home comfort.
Yeah.
And I'm pleased to say that I think at Shanklin Theatre, we managed to get them all nicely relaxed, and they get a good professional reception. And if they want to be left alone, leave them alone. If they want to talk.
But you've had some interesting encounters as well, haven't you? Like, there's one that you mentioned a while ago when we were talking about doing this was, people might remember this name, Rod Hull.
Rod Hull, yes.
And he, according to you, I think I've got this right, introduce you to classical music, didn't he? Is that right?
Yeah. What it was, we were doing... I was doing a tour with him, the Pink Windmill tour. Lord, I forget when it was. It was a long time ago, anyway. Before he died, it was the Pink Windmill tour, and we were in Darlington, some venue or whatever it was. And I got a phone call, and it was the drummer who said McVan's broken down, and he was in London, and we're in Darlington. He said, "But I've managed to get myself and the kit to the train station. I'm going to get on the train." But bearing in mind, this is days before mobile phones. "I'm going to get on the train," he said, "but can you meet me at Darlington Station to get the... because I'm not going to get the kit from there to the gig." He said, "No, hopefully the train gets there just in time. We should just about have enough time." So, yeah, fair enough, no worries, I'll do that. So I went on setting up, and it was a few hours later. And I thought, right, time to come in, go and pick Tony, I think he was called, drummer, to go and pick Tony up. And I went out to the back, and of course I'd been first in the morning, and I couldn't get the van out because there's all these cars parked behind me, and one of them was Rod Hull's. He had a very nice Mercedes estate, I seem to remember.
Yeah.
So I was running up, so I said, "Rod, so can you move your car, mate? Because I've got to get the van out to go and get Tony from the station." He said, "Well, wouldn't it be easier if you took my car?" I said, "Well, yes, obviously it'd be easier, but where you are then?" Threw me the keys. "So just take the car and off you go and pick him up." Well, great. So, of course, I get in the car and head off to the station. And I didn't know Darlington. There was roadworks everywhere. I could see the station across the way. Time's cracking on for showtime. I could see the station. I can't get to it. There's all this traffic. Oh, I was getting so het up. I couldn't.
Yeah.
And eventually, I turned around and turned the radio on and shoved a cassette in that he happened to have in there. And it was classical music. And I just sort of went, "Oh, it's not so bad, is it?" And it actually relaxed me, and I didn't know why. And it wasn't until later that year, I was talking to a MD called Maurice Merry, who used to be the MD for Gene Pitney. Pitney's MD.
MD, musical director.
Yeah, he's musical director. And I told him about this story, and I said, I don't know why it relaxed me. I don't really care for classical music that much. And he says, "Because it hasn't got a beat. You haven't got to work at it.
Yeah.
It just flows through you, and you don't have to work at it like you do at a modern pop song." So, that makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
So I learnt something there. So dear old Rod introduced me to that.
Yeah, so Darlington.
But then again, I did smuggle chips for him when I was younger. So
I was going to ask you about that one. Chris, in case anybody's not sure, can be labelled a chip smuggler for the stars, including Larry Grayson,
Rod Hull,
and Dillis Watling.
Yeah,
and this was at the Bristol Hippodrome,
yeah.
So what's going on there then? Why do you have to smuggle chips?
Well, chips are basically, in the theatre, are absolutely taboo. You should never take them in the theatre, basically because they smell, and they permeate, and it goes through the auditorium, and they don't smell so good secondhand. Well, if you can't get your hands on it, it smells so good. It goes into the costumes, so they tend to be absolutely taboo, so you're not allowed to take chips into a theatre. But that was one of my first jobs, the first time I was ever allowed on stage during a show. I was only 14 then, and for matinees they couldn't get anybody to do the dressing, and my mum was wardrobe, and she sort of said, "Well, Chris will probably do it if I ask, so would you come?" "Yes, I'll come and do that." But so I had to come straight home from school. The show had already started, but the first change wasn't until just after my bus got in from school.
Yeah.
So I had to run from around a bus and get in there just in time to go and do the change.
Yeah.
So I was there for all the matinees, and I used to go in for some of the evening shows and stuff. Yeah. But if you do a matinee and an evening show, the artists have all got their slap on. They haven't got time to get out of all that order to go and get something to eat.
Yeah.
And Larry said to me one day, "Oh, can get me some chips." I said, "Well, I can't. They won't allow me in." "Oh, God, I need some chips. Can you give me some chips?" There was a chip shop just across the way from the stage door of the theatre. So I took my school bag and emptied all the books out of it and walked out like I was just walking out for a bit, went over to the chip shop, got the chips and got them to double wrap them, and then sort of walked back in the stage door really quickly past stage door keeper and ran to stage manager's office, who were opposite the doors, and managed to get back past quick before the smell came out. And they went up and took him up to Larry, and he was dived on them. Of course, then all the others got to hear about it. Rod got to hear about it, and Delis. Every matinee then, it was my job was to go out and smuggle chips in for them. I don't know how I ever got back in that theatre, to be honest.
For those who maybe don't know, I bet there can't be many, but Larry Grayson, what was he famous for? What was his catchphrase?
Everard. Shut that door.
Shut that door. Yeah,
get a muck in here.
Yeah. Oh, that's him.
That's him. Yeah. Yeah. And,
gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. He was massive in his day.
He was. He had his own TV show and everything, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He did. Yeah. 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 Definitely.
Brilliant. Okay. And what I was going to ask you now, just a little switch, because I do want you to do some name dropping in a minute, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Just to prime you, just to set you up. Speed name dropping. And I'll time you, see how many we can get. But I wanted to just chat about what's coming up at Shanklin, because I know from past experience that it's like a great show, like two or three times a week. There's something on, isn't there?
Absolutely.
That requires you and Rebecca there backstage. So you know, it's a lot of work, isn't it? Because every show has to be set up. All the lighting cues and the sound and everything for every single one has to be set up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So.
Although lighting, to be fair, a lot of depends. Like last night, for
some
instance,
of them bring their own.
Yeah, sometimes they bring their own. It can go from they bring absolutely everything, bring all their own sound, all their own lighting, all their own people to operate it. Like Russell Watson in a few weeks' time, that'll be one of those.
Yeah.
So then come the show, I'll have nothing to do.
Yeah.
And we had the ELO experience of the day. That was the same thing.
Oh, right.
They had all their own sound, all their own lighting. They use a bit of our own light, a bit of the in-house lighting, but generally.
Yeah.
They operate it, or they can bring absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
bring an iPad and say, "Yeah, press go when I say this," and then you're making it up as you go along. And last night was a make it up as I go along. The Baron Knights.
Yeah,
and they gave me a set list which they didn't stick to at all. I didn't know half the songs anyway, so I always try and get these set lists. And I think, well, it was pointless. I have no idea what they're. I don't even know the song.
Do you get stressed out when you're doing it, or are you fairly placid?
No, I think I'm fairly placid. I got slightly stressed out last night because we've luckily they just we had a bit of problem with our sound, our lighting desk, beg your pardon, and I managed to get one in at a very good price, so I've only had it about 3 weeks, so I'm still rather unfamiliar with it, and then last night it suddenly stopped doing what it was supposed to do. It was an operator error. It wasn't anything to do with the desk. It was I did a button because I didn't know it. I didn't quite know where to go in order to get rid of it. But so towards the end it got a bit went a bit dark in places.
Okay. Well, what I'm thinking of, I'm just looking at the clock now. So if you're happy, Chris, can we play a bit of music, hear from our sponsors, and then when we come back, we'll do what's coming up at Shanklin Theatre, some amazing acts, and your now legendary speed name dropping.
I don't mind at all, and I can't help thinking the listener could do with a rest from this bloke who won't stop talking.
All right, here we go then.
In a perfect world, people everywhere, they could elevate above all fear. In a perfect heart, there'd be perfect love. I'm still looking for it in someone. In a perfect world, everybody knows it comes around same as it goes. But the way it is the way it is. I'm just trying to find my way through this. In a perfect world, in a perfect world. In a perfect world.
Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
The Castle St Helens. Superb self-catering accommodation in St Helens, open all year, just a short walk from the beach. Full details, including availability and offers, can be found on our website at www.sthelenscastle.co.uk. It's also the perfect place to book if you have relatives coming to visit you on the island, with special rates available for bookings made from Isle of Wight addresses. Contact us on www.sthelenscastle.co.uk or on 01983 875 993, that's 875 993, to book your perfect getaway on the Isle of Wight. Also see the Facebook page for the castle for more details.
Having problems with your phone? Or are your electrics on the blink? Maybe you need your appliances or your building wiring tested. Or just a light fitted. West Wight Audio and Electrical Services can help you. For friendly, reliable service, call Kelvin on 754 666 or click westwhiteaudio.co.uk. All island coverage.
Isle of Wight Feet help people with foot problems and footwear. Make an appointment to see my dad for professional chiropody and podiatry services. He specialises in making orthotic insoles and made-to-measure footwear. Don't put us off and suffer. We're opposite the Conservative Club in Cross Street, open from Tuesday to Saturday from 9 to 5. Telephone 864444 or search iwfeet.co.uk.
Hello everybody, my name is Verka Serdyuchka.
Whoa, 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 wait a minute. What was that? That was not dance music. This is dance music.
It's Dazzy D, just reminding you that if you love dance music, then please join me every Saturday from 7 p.m. right here on Vectis Radio with The Mashup. Bringing you some quality, fresh tracks, classic floor fillers, the UK dance chart top 10 lowdown, and the odd masher here and there. If you like your dance tracks, then don't forget to join me from 7 on Saturday. It's The Mashup.
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666.
The Afternoon Show, sponsored by the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. So much to do for the whole family. For more details, go to www.iwsteamrailway.co.uk or pick up the 2016 brochure.
There you you go. That's Shakira featuring Dizzy Rascal. Who else? You're listening to Monday Magazine here on Vectis Radio with me, Kevin Wilson, and my special guest, Chris Gardner. Chris, we're that moment in the show where I want you to tell us a few of the highlights coming up at Shanklin Theatre.
Few of the highlights coming up. He's got last one of One Man, Two Governors tonight, the Mikado next weekend, followed by Russell Watson, Phil Collins tribute, 39 Steps. I'm looking forward to that because my old mate Kevin Wilson's in that. I don't know if you know him. that's going to be a good one, that, because I'm really looking forward to that one. The Searchers, Cast Off Kinks with Ray Davies, Madam Butterfly.
Not Ray Davies.
What did I say?
You said Ray Davies.
Did I? No, it's his brother Dave. his brother Dave. Sorry, yeah. No, I don't think Ray will be down. Although Ray does play with them occasionally, apparently. Yeah. I understand. Les McCune with the Roller Mania, Justin Hayward, 10cc.
Oh,
and that is what I'm looking forward to. That's not in a bit.
When are they on, Chris?
I haven't got the date for that. But it's on the website,
okay.
shanklintheatre.com.
All right.
If I'm allowed to advertise. Yeah. Claire Teal. And if those of you know Claire Teal, Radio 2.
Yeah.
Brilliant show. She's been down twice before. She's a lovely lady and brings a fantastic band with her.
Okay.
Really good night out, that is.
All right.
Mousetrap. National tour of the Mousetrap.
Say no more.
I don't know how we're going to fit that in. That's two Arctic loads of gear. And
is there?
Yeah, I don't know how that's going
to go in.
I
think I'm coming to that one.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And I'll finally find out who did it. Yeah. It was the mouse, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
The mouse did it.
The one who smells of cheese.
But now, for those who don't know, I'll remind you, Chris has got a contacts book as long as my arm. Or probably longer, actually. Probably longer than several arms. And I tease him often about his list of famous names, because he's the best name dropper in the business. So what I want to do is set Chris a challenge. Chris, you have got 1 minute to get in as many famous names as you can, and I'm going to start you... Now,
Vanessa Redgrave, John Gielgud, David Hemming, Sir Donald Wolfit, Trevor Howard, Tony Richardson, Nola Tobias, Michael Gothard, Jack Watson, Brian Blessed, Lewis Collins, Al Murray, Barry Cryer, Bev Bevan, Billy Pierce, Bob Monkhouse, Cannon and Ball, Carl Palmer, Danny John Jules, Don McLean, Frankie Howard, Gary Wilmot, Janet Brown, Jasper Carra, oh brilliant, Jethro, good old mate, Keith Harris, of course, my good old friend, Lee Mead, Les Dennis, Leslie Crowther, Little and Large, Hal Cruttendon, Martin Daniels, Max Boyce, Michael Palin, Neville King, Milton Jones, Norman Wisdom, Omid Jalili, Pam Ayers, Patton Brothers, Paul Daniels, Phil Cool, Phil Jupitus, Ray Allen, Raymond Allen,
15 seconds.
Reginald D. Hunter, Rod Hull, Ronnie Barker, Ronnie Corbett, Ross Noble, Roy Chubby Brown, Roy Hudd, Rusty Lee, Sally Morgan, Shapik Rosandi, Sooty, the Stan Boardman.
And your time is up.
Oh.
That is fantastic. I think you broke your previous record there by at least...
I had to play it back and see how many we got in.
Yeah, fantastic. It's so good to talk to you again, Chris. Thanks very much for coming in.
It's a pleasure.
And what's the next show then? What's the next one you're working on?
We've got One Man, Two Governors tonight.
The last one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's gone down really well, hasn't it?
That has gone very well indeed,
yeah. Good stuff. And all right.
Yeah.
So thanks again, Chris. We'll talk to you again, no doubt, and I'll ask you to break your record again next time you come.
Might be some of the same names.
Don't worry, you can't catch me out. All right. Cheers, Chris.
Cheers, Kevin.